Blog Talk Radio.
All right, hang there.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Tuned in to the Justice Chicago Radio Show, live in effect every Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You are listening to Candace Carey, a.k.a. Kemei Lucci, and we are going to introduce the man of the hour, Mr. Clifton Pierce, all the way from Chicago, Illinois. How are you?
Wow, what an introduction. How much I owe you for that?
We'll talk. I'll
okay.
See you the invoice.
There you go.
Yes.
How you doing, Candace?
I'm doing
okay.
Well.
How's the weather down there? How's the weather in Miami?
You know what, Clifton? I have not been outside today, so I couldn't tell you. I have been cozied up in my house. I can tell you that it's about 7 degrees in here. Nice and cozy, the way I like it.
Okay, yeah.
I can't tell you. I cannot tell you.
Okay, well, I'll ride with that. Listen, we have a heavy show tonight. First of all, I want to start out with an apology. Last Sunday's show, to be honest, Candace, our show is growing so by leaps and bounds is that we've actually outgrown our switchboard. So a lot of you that were scheduled to come on the show or listen to the show last week weren't able to get through, because all our lines were jammed. People are calling over from all the way around the world, and they're listening to us, and they're listening to what we are talking about. You know, by me being old as I am, I remember when WBON first came to Chicago, and VON, a lot of blacks don't even know that those VON stand for the Voice of the Negro, okay? And but they've been so, I ain't gonna say politicized, but it's so much about the money now that they really don't do the talking that we do, and people are looking for real conversations. And when I started this show here, thanks to Shelley and the Nick Cannon Media Group, I wanted to make sure that I bring on people that ordinarily might not get a chance to be on the radio, might not get a chance to be heard, but they got all the ideas in the world, and so that's where I'm giving them a platform. As long as I have a platform, they have a platform, and that's why I bring on the guests that I bring on. And one of the things that I say is that when they say, well, man, Cliff, I've never done that before, you know, what you want me to talk about? Listen, if I tell you what to talk about, I don't need you. I'm bringing you on my show because I know you have something to talk about, and I'm giving you a platform to talk about it. So with that being said, that's why I have a variety of guests that I have. And also I want to do a shout-out for, say, my sister Helen. You know, she's such a big advocate of mine. And I could just go on and on with the people who are so supportive, Carol, my daughter, Kim, you know, it's just a lot of people very supportive of what I'm doing. And again, I'm trying to afford everybody the opportunity to get their word out because there's a lot going on. It's a lot going on. And this pandemic had us, even by me being a street guy and I'm able to deal both sides of this street, it still has effect even on myself, because for 40 years I was in some nightclub at 12 o'clock running a nightclub, and today at 12 o'clock I'm upside down in my bed asleep. But the world has changed, you know, so they had a daytime story talking about as the world turns, and with this pandemic and this lifestyle being changed, the world is turning. What you got to say about that, Candace?
You know what, I feel you. I think this COVID-19 and the adverse effects that has happened on the society just with the policies alone, with mandating us to wear masks instead of breathing in natural air when we go outside, it's hurting our immune system. It's causing a lot of mental distress on some people who do not know the tools or cannot deal with it, that just haven't experienced this before. Our people, I mean specifically the African American people, and this is just my opinion, it's not a fact, but I think we were built for this. I think we've gone through years of trying times where we have overcome things. So we have been, you know, we're prepared for this in sort of a way to overcome it. So I really agree with what you're saying, and I'm happy that the vaccine is now going to be coming out. And
okay, you hold it right there, baby. Hold it right there. Let's invite our guest on. Dr. Mike, are you there?
Welcome,
Dr. Mike. Okay. Okay, Carlos, are you there?
Sure, I'm here.
Okay, is Taboo? Are you Taboo? Are you online, Taboo?
Taboo, if you're online, please press 1 on your dial tone. That way, we will know in the back office, and we can let you in the door.
Okay, J Minor Allen, are you there?
J Minor, Allen, press 1. J Minor, press 1.
Okay,
or
and Frank Chapman. And Frank Chapman, are you there, Frank Chapman?
Okay, they haven't arrived yet, but we do have a packed house of people that are tuned in listening to what we have to say.
Okay, well, you know, as everyone comes on board, I'm going to start off with this conversation that I posted on my Facebook page, because it's a decision we have to make. Are you or are you not going to take the virus? Okay, I got Dr. I got Dr. Washington with me, and he's going to be a regular guest on this show, because he can tell it like it is, and a lot of you people who can't get to your doctor, can't get to your pharmacist, don't understand the pills that you take every week, every day, that is, he can explain what those pills are. So, Doc, I'm going to start off with you, and you need to tell me, what is this vaccine? What is it about, so our people can know just what is this vaccine? Does it work? And what's the dangers and the repercussions of it?
Okay. Well, let's start off first with what the vaccine is. The vaccine is not a cure for COVID-19. What the vaccine does is not putting the COVID in your body. It's sending your body a message to create antibodies to protect you from the virus. So let me say that again. You're not putting the COVID virus in your body when you're taking the vaccine. The vaccine helps to trigger your immune system to create antibodies, which, of course, fight against when you're exposed to the COVID virus. So that's one thing that I want to be clear on, because a lot of people say, well, I'm not taking it because I'm not going to put COVID in my body. You're not doing that. The virus, the vaccine is going to help your body, your immune system, create antibodies to protect you from exposure to the virus. Now, the thing, like I said, this whole thing with COVID is very fluid, and we're learning as we go along, week by week, day by day. So what they're saying now is that they're going to issue the vaccine to the first-line workers, you know, the people that are exposed, the doctors and nurses, people in senior citizen homes. And so we're going to try – they're going to see what that effect is going to be in terms of trying to curb the virus. So the thing about it is they're not sure how long your body is going to make the antibody. They say it's about 90 days, but they're not sure yet. So you're going to have to take another vaccine. It's a two-dose vaccine. You take one, and then 28 days from then, you'll take another vaccination. And then about a week after that, then your body should begin to produce antibodies to protect you. But we still need to be social distance, keep our mask on, and that's where we are right now so far with the vaccine.
Okay, now, if my people take this vaccine, how long will it last before they have to take another one, or is that just a one-time situation?
Well, no, you got to take one vaccination initially, and then you got to take a second dose, which was called a booster dose. You'll be taking that 28 days after you take that. But the general public, we're not going to get this vaccine until probably early spring, summertime, because they got to get it out to all the frontline people first, the people that are dealing with COVID patients, the doctors and the nurses. Now, statistics have said, from what I read, that 70% of doctors said they're comfortable with taking the vaccine, and about 60 to 70% of nurses are comfortable with taking the vaccine. You know, a lot of skepticism is around that because the speed in which they were able to create the vaccine. But people have to understand that technology is moving faster now. So what used to take 2 or 3 years, you can come up with something in 6 months because technology is growing exponentially. And so we're able to come up with things faster than we used to. So that was one of my concerns. Mm-hmm.
Wait, hold it right there. I'm going to come back to you, Doc. You know, we always have a lot of questions. I want to give people a chance to ask some of these questions. Carlos.
Yes, sir.
Okay, how you doing, young fella?
I'm doing great.
I'm going to introduce Carlos to you all from what I know about him, and then I'm going to let him introduce himself. Carlos reached out to me, and we had a conversation. And I've never met him personally, but we've talked back and forth on Facebook and everything. And one thing that I like about Carlos more than anything is his compassion. He has compassion for his community. And that's what my talk radio show is about, compassion for my people. And he's adamant about it. And another thing that I want to tell him and tell any other young person is a pole rat. That's what the old people used to tell you. It's a pole rat that ain't got but one hole, okay? And so what you're saying there, if one thing don't work, try another. And in the case of Carlos, he's double-breasted. So, Carlos, tell him who you are and what's the story on you.
Yes, I'm reporting live from Chatham, Chicago, USA, in which I would love to call it the equator of Chicago. The equator of United States based upon how the expressways go from 55 down south, up north, all across from 90 to east and west. So here in Chicago, where I am located, we are basically called the grid. As you all fly in and see the city lights, everything is structured here properly, mathematically. I am a community outreach individual that is from an area where all black entrepreneurs created businesses. The black dollar is power in the area of Chatham. When you decide to cross the tracks here in Chatham, it's a lot of unity. It's a lot of businesses. You have the Minister Farrakhan Mosque here. That's the national place. You have a lot, the lottery here, number one money place in the United States. So with that being said, I have a lot of elders in which have taught my generation on how to be entrepreneurs at a young age, and how to be educated, and how to be self-sufficient, and also have love for the community. So that's my story.
Okay. Now, are you an artist as well?
Yes. I'm also an artist. I love all arts. Art, there's no wrong way of doing art. During the time of the rioting, protesting, and looting process of George Floyd, I figured, hey, they took all of the tools out of my hands as a barber from the pandemic, being afraid of, like you said, going outside, social distancing, doc, and dealing with the pandemic, once the looting process happened and our city was devastated and black businesses were affected, all I could do was use my community outreach, leadership advantage, and ask people to come out, help clean up. We didn't get too much of that, but we did get a lot of support as we needed to clean up. I took my creativity to the streets as a graffiti artist, and we started to fall in line with Black Lives Matter, you know.
Well, let me ask you this here, Carlos. All those places after that riot that were boarded up, next thing I saw, I thought I was in a library. Everywhere I looked, those boarded up places became artwork. Is that your work?
Yes, I have a lot of artwork throughout the city, and a lot of the artists I am associated with. And we just wanted to end the world hate. So I came up with a lot of slogan called Love Ends Hate. I'm a part of the mural movement here in Chicago. And our words of love, expression, a lot of African proverbs, it gets national notice as the news media wanted to know who was doing this art. I have I was a kid by the name of Zachary Slaughter that appreciated all of our artists throughout the city of Chicago and went and took pictures and made a book about it. So, yes, I have a lot to do with the art movement. I'm a part of the Justice Action Movement here in Chicago, and we like to use our expressions of art, music, to bring people together to rejoice in love.
Okay, now let me ask you here. I just saw something about you and the Islam over there at the mosque. What's going on with that? What's the story on that?
Yes, sir. I designed a lot of Chicago landmarks, shall I say. I'm blessed to be able to have the opportunity to be able to do some work along with DuSable Museum, the only African-American museum here in Chicago. I was able to work with them in their landmarks and get other artists to do some historic murals there. I've also was able to do artwork on the Chicago Ballroom on 63rd and Cottage Grove as well. And just being able to receive a call from the Nation of Islam to and ask me to bring a welcoming look to Minister Farrakhan, Mr. Muhammad, Chicken Coop, Go Herd, it's definitely life changing, and everything is for the people. So
tell me about that. Tell us about that. What's with the chickens? And where is it located? Is that at the mosque, or is that Farrakhan's house? Where is that?
This is at Mosque Merriam on 73rd and Stony Island, the national mosque in America. Once the mosque, we're hoping, once the world is able to heal, be able to be safe again, and once the mosque is open, we want to be able to have that farm as the center point of where our people need to go with learning how to grow food, know how to be self-sufficient, and being able to take care of ourselves. And I believe that the minister leads us all in the right direction, along with, as you see, I work with Father Flager. So with me working with Father Flager, he gave me an opportunity to put Demand Justice with Maxwell MK in front of the church before Black Lives Matter was even done in D.C. So we have a rollout on the ground that says demand justice, and thanks to Nick Cannon as well for supporting the demand justice movement and giving you this panel and everyone else's panel to listen. I just want to be able to bring the spirituality and love in our community back in power and numbers and able to listen properly to the elders as we bridge this gap with the new generation of leaders.
Okay, Carlos, hold it right there, huh? Candace, do we have anybody else on the line? I'm looking for Taboo. I'm looking
Taboo
for J. Minor Allen.
Okay. J. Minor Allen, how about we? I wanted to ask this gentleman, what's your name again, sir? And welcome to the Justice Chicago. I'm Candace Carey, the co-host, and also of. An executive for the Cannon Media Network and also work for Access to National Artists, Inc. What are your thoughts on reparations? And since you work closely with Louis Farrakhan, can you give us some insight on perhaps the plan or what his ideology for reparations for the African descendants of slaves?
Well, I would not want to be quoted on what
okay.
the
Can
minister's ideology would, but I, in my sense, is for 400 years, all of our ideas has been taken. Everything in which has been created is based upon the origin of the black man, woman, and child. What needs to happen for our reparations is to make them give us the finances in which it's needed for us to take care of our communities, our families, because of the systematic racism. All of the generation, we're two generations from slaves. My generation is the first generation to do worse than their parents' generation, and we're more educated. We're the technological generation X. We have to be able to work together with our elders from our elders to be able to pass on the knowledge in which there is for us to be able to move forward and leave them in a peaceful place. So with the reparations on the ideology of how minister or any ministry or pastor would state it, that would be their own way of expressing it. But in my mind state, everything starts with listening and learning from the elders so that we can understand what they were going through and where we're going, because without our history, we're lost. So how we unlock that, we have to sit down, we have to work together, we have to prepare. Proper preparation prevents the performance, and I believe that we can and we will overcome, but we have to understand the stock market. We have to understand finances. Our people don't understand finances. They don't understand that the black dollar is power.
Okay. Let me interject for a moment. I want to see if Frank Chapman is on the line. Frank Chapman, if you just punch one, and your line will open up, punch one.
Not
I'm also
yet.
Looking for Taboo, punch one. I'm looking for you to punch one. J. Minor Allen, I'm looking for you to punch one if you're on the line.
Not
okay,
yet. We have Candace. Yes, I'm here. This is good. I want to keep talking to this gentleman about reparations, and I just want to know, do you think we will see the funding in our lifetime, in your lifetime, do you think we will see reparations, the recompensement of it actually being distributed within our lifetime?
You're saying it right now.
I mean, you and I are ours. I think, yes.
You're seeing a taste of it right now when it comes to when it comes to how the black community and the black dollar changes the world every day. What I mean by that, listen, it's kind of difficult, but it's really easy. You see it right in front of your face. There's small business grants. There's loans that is being given. The world cannot move without the finance. Well, America can't move without the finances of the black dollar. I do believe that in my lifetime, we will take over everything in abundance as it was once written. We are the children of Judah, Israel. God's people can only be held down for so long. I do believe with bankers, lawyers, doctors, all people, all black educators, scholars that have their business ideas, it has to be implemented to our generation of collegiate students that understand theory, that understands the system, that understands that how economics work. We understand that. I don't know what they gave to our parents when they vaccinated us, but they gave us the wrong thing because they ignited our brains to out this atmosphere. So what I'm stating is, we know how to make nothing out of something. As we sit here in a pandemic trying to figure out how do we make money? Easy. We work off of our hobbies. We work off of the talents that was given. But how do we break the chain of certain laws? We have to rewrite history, and that is what it should be happening now. First, it was against the police. Now it's against the government. Now they're implementing New World Order. Now it's population control. You have so many pieces on the chessboard that if you don't understand the game that is being played in front of you, then you're going to lose. You're just a chess piece on the board. And with that being said, with everyone understanding finances is the power, you starting to see pyramid schemes come back. You starting to see the money just to be thrown, just to be a trick that's thrown out into the world. You have the Illinois Department of Employment Security that have over 212,000 claims of fraudulency. How does that happen? That happens because the inside network of people, they don't have no more security. No one knows when their job is going to end. No one knows when the stock market is going to crash. No one knows when the next police officer will kill another black child and the world begins to loot again. So, with that being said, how do you keep everyone at bay? You have to give them money. You have to give them the power to create. You have to give them the power to open a convenience store, a candy store, an auto zone, whatever that person's passion is. You can't pay them the less amount. You have to allow them to use their talents and their gifts. So what do we do now? We have no choice but to sell our products through social medias. At home, whether that's nail tech, that whether that's massage therapy, you have to have a trade. So what do our elders do to help my generation of scholars to help these kids that are the next leaders that can't be, that's not to be tricked, but they are being tricked because the world is showing them how to scam, how to hack, that's cool because of this technological world that is a baby. anyone can create a cheat code if you understand binary numbers, if you know computer science, if you understand how to create a program.
Well, you know, let me say something.
Educational level.
Let me say something on that very note. Technology is at a stage now where it's just running. But anyway, I had spoken to a lot of my people on Facebook about investing in your community, okay? And one of them was when the stimulus check was coming out, okay? They were giving you $1,200 stimulus check, okay? And what I wanted everybody to do was form a group, everybody put $200 together and get a nail salon. I'm speaking to these young ladies out here and these gentlemen who are ladies that go to the nail salon at least twice a month, and they're spending anywhere from $50 to $80 per visit.
Exactly.
Okay, these nail salons are making somewhere in the area of $50,000 a month. Okay, I'll never forget Sam Smith right there, Hair Smith. Okay, he first one I know to open up a 24-hour beauty salon right there on 79 right off of King Drive. Okay, it's abundance of money, and one of the keys as a master salesman, which I can equate myself to be, is that you make your money when you buy a product, not when you sell it. And the point I'm trying to say here, with that pandemic coming, it's a lot of these nail salon owners did not come back. So you have what you have is a turnkey operation. Three or four people get together, pay up 2 months worth of rent, go in there, they're already popular, and just start making your own money. Our people, our young people, do not see black businesses that are owned by blacks. So they don't desire to have that business of their own. They want to be consumers. We were 13th in the world in buying power. We're a nation of consumers. We manufacture nothing. Okay, so that whole mindset has to change there. We got to start spending our money within ourselves, you know. And again, this is what my platform is about. And even I want to talk about this rapper right now, because listen, right there at Parkway Gardens on 64th and King Drive, right where Michelle Obama came out of, okay, the president's wife came right out of Parkway Gardens in time back. And the bottom line is right now we got five rappers who have come out of Parkway Gardens, 64th right there, and King Drive, that are now multimillionaires. Multimillionaires. They are the new money people. But we got to get them together some kind of way, because they've all moved away. We got to make them come back home. If this neighborhood created you, okay, if you standing on the corner because you're saying this is my block, I'm holding down my block, then why not buy that block? If you got that kind of money, then buy the block. You're not owning it. Right now there's a law. There's a situation where in Chicago, if you own a home on the block and there's a vacant lot on that block, you can buy that vacant lot for a dollar. And with a young person just sit on it, next thing you know, a developer go come by and ask to give you all the money in the world for it. So we got to change the mindset. We got to start making our young people realize that you need to own your own, not be a consumer, not being biased. The money they spend on these hair and these nails and all of that is totally unbelievable. So once again, we have to control the black dollar. The black dollar, and another thing I mention all the time, especially when these churches was going on, is that these churches, these big mega churches, they take in all this money on Sunday, and then at the end of the day, get up on Monday and take it all to a white bank that won't loan them a dime. What sense does that make? What sense does that make? And another thing I've always tried to talk to these pastors about with these big, massive churches, you got young men in there who are really retired in their early 60s, 65, had jobs post office, had jobs electricians, carpenters, and everything. Why don't you all create an apprenticeship? Because most of these churches got rooms that they don't even use. Why not take these senior members of your church and start teaching these children in your church how to be businessmen, how to be tradesmen? How to be tradesmen, how to work for themselves, you know. Don't be out looking for a job, you know, create a job, because that's what I had to do.
Exactly.
That's what I had to do. But once again, I want to say, Kenneth, do we have any other callers on the line? Because if my guests are not on the line, I just want to take some calls from anybody that's listening. Tell them to punch one, and I'm going to let them say what they got to say.
Right. In the meantime, Punch One, you heard the man. He said it. Let's take a quick little break, and we'll be right back to the Justice Chicago Radio Show.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to wig, weave, or protective style? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all-natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com. That's good, the number 2, GRO.com.
Well, all right.
Yes.
Do we have a caller?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to get back to Dr. Washington again, because I'm noticing in the black community that these dialysis places are jumping up. What's the story on that? Okay. Why are black people seem to be having more problems with the dialysis than anyone else? What's the story on that? And how long do you stay on these pills before these pills don't work? Doc, can you talk about that?
Yeah. Let me just chime in on one thing that Carlos was talking about, and this is something I'm passionate about. He mentioned the fact that love changes hate. I had an experience when I was 18 years old when I was in the Army, and I came in the door to meet my first roommate, and he was a Caucasian gentleman. His name was Jim, and he was from Clarksville, Tennessee. Long story short, when I came in the door, he spun around in the chair, and he became thermometer red from his neck up to his head, and I thought he was choking. And I asked him, I said, well, what's the problem, bro? Are you okay? And he just stood there. He couldn't say nothing, and I kind of realized what was wrong. He didn't realize that he was going to have a black roommate as a roommate. And so long story short, he told me we went down to the saloon and got a cocktail. You know, a drunk person's words is a sober person's thoughts. And he shared with me that he was taught to hate black people by his family, probably his dad and uncle and friends. But my point is this, that we have to understand what the other flip side of the coin is, what's going on in our society. As Carlos was saying, hate. People are taught hate. If you're taught something by your parents, then you believe that to be gospel, and then you go by that, and you live by those morals, and you create that. So a lot of the stuff that we see is based on people being taught to hate. Because I asked him, I said, have black people ever done anything to your family or your sister or your brother or your uncle or your father? He said, no, I was just taught to hate. So that is a lot that's very venomous, and that's very powerful, just like the opposite of hate is love, and we do need to create more love in our community so that we can try to heal ourselves. But you got to realize nobody wants to give up their good thing. You know, we've been under this umbrella of slavery for 400 years. And according to Willie Lynch, all you got to do is put the light skin against the dark, the young against the old. Like Carlos was saying, we got to bridge that gap between our elders and this young generation. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but we have to understand where all this division comes from, and it comes from hate that was taught back then. And this was, I'm talking about, this was 1981 when I had this conversation. And as we became good friends, he tried to invite me to his house for Thanksgiving dinner. And I told him, no, that's not possible, because if your family taught you to hate black people, then I'm definitely not going to come to your house and try to break bread with you. And he even asked me later on, did I have a tail? As in a tail.
Wow.
Wags. And I had to pull my pants down. I'm not trying to be graphic and show him that I did not have a tail. So you got to believe, you got to understand what's going on with this other population of people. They got hate. They got misinformation. And so we have to try to educate them to what's really going on, and try to change their, they have a paradigm shift in terms of what they've been taught as children. But like I said, nobody wants to give up their good thing. You know, we're like y'all were saying, we're just consumers, and we're just taught to buy stuff, and we're not taught to own operate and be self-sufficient. That's not the nature of what the systemic racism is about. It's about keeping us suppressed and become consumers and not educated about finances. There's this one guy I want to share with. His name is Dr. Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E, Watkins. He's a scholar in terms of business and finances, and he has a black information network. You can go on YouTube and look him up. His name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and he teaches you about economics and about how to buy stocks and stuff like that. And also one other point, too. There's a thing that we don't know about. It's called estate planning. It's where you set up all your property, your land trust, and all that stuff. If you don't know about that, get in touch with an attorney that you know in your city and find out about estate planning, because when somebody passes along, I just got mine done last summer, so I feel secure if something would happen to me, my property, my money, all my business is in order, so that my wife, while she's grieving, if I were to pass away, everything that she was supposed to get would come directly to her. That's why it's very important to have estate planning, because if you don't have estate planning, the system is set up where you have to go to what's called probate, which means now you got to pay a lawyer anywhere from $150 to $300 an hour to go to court to fight for you to get what was already supposed to be yours. Like, my wife would have to go to court to try to get all the things that are mine that I was going to give her anyway. But we got to have estate planning. That's very, very crucial in terms of maintaining our property. A lot of times this young generation, like Carlos was saying, the elders, these young people that are taking over these properties that their parents have owned, they're not paying the taxes. They're not keeping up with the maintenance of the property. So all these properties are being, you know, run down because these younger generation don't know anything about finances and about estate planning and about how to take care of business. And like Carlos was saying, it's very important that we bridge this gap. And social media and all these platforms is creating a situation where our kids are getting information from that side, but that's not helping us in terms of establishing our community and making our community flourish.
Exactly.
Doc, while I got you. Okay, come on.
What I listened thoroughly, I want to be able to help you understand and help everyone that is listening understand. And I don't want to sound too confident or cocky. It's just that Mr. Pierce, being from my neighborhood of black leaders, I was put in a situation where education was the number one thing when it came to family. Family was the number one thing. Education was the top thing. I come from a family that really was in poverty, from Argyle Gardens. Also, they struggled to put every one of my cousins that came before me, up to me, to my children, through Catholic school, through private school, so that we could have an advantage. I went to De La Salle High School, where Greg Gumbel, graduated from. I graduated from where Mayor Daley went to school at. I'm an alumni of these places. I went to Lewis University, where a school of aviation, where one of the terrorists was the pilot. What I'm saying to you all and to the world is, by the ones that were the 5%, 10% scholars of African Americans, like Mr. Pearson, we have to be able to create jobs. We have to be able to create money. We have to be able to create opportunities for others. I dealt with a race riot in high school. Just like you were saying, you had a white friend wanted to bring you to Thanksgiving. I had to deal with all of those situations for 4 years. My first love, basketball, is when I understood hate. I went to a grammar school where Benjamin Wilson, was slain by another student over a girl. That was the first time in which I understood hate. Until I got to high school where I'm dealing with Asians, Europeans, Indians. And now I had to think about it. The trauma in which I experienced, along with a lot of other black kids experienced, along with a lot of European kids experienced, because they didn't know any better. We are fighting each other, losing scholarships, didn't graduate, and we never even told our parents that was investing all of this tuition that we had a race riot at school. Why some students wasn't able to walk and we didn't stand up and fight. What I want to be able to get to is what you're saying. We have to be able to educate each generation. But this is the thing. This is what I understand. 85% of the world is going to act dumb, deaf, and blind. You're going to have your 10% blood-sucking leeches, and you're just going to have your 5% of people that understands the truth, the way of the light. And I do understand that you can give a person love, but they don't have it. So we can't really worry about those that don't understand, that is not educated, that is always on a wide path of destruction. But we have to stay on a righteous path. We have to stay on a narrow path of righteousness, work together, and go from point A to point B. We have to take small steps until we complete every alphabet one at a time. Dot the I's, cross the T's.
Okay.
And we have to listen.
Okay, doctor, let me ask you again, Doc, as we get closer to the end of this here. What is your first of all, I want you to explain to us about the dialysis places that are popping up, and then give me your timetable on when you think we'll go back to at least being able to come out, because I can see us wearing masks forever. But when will the city start moving around again, if what, in your foreseeable future?
Well, like I said, the general public is not going to be receiving the vaccine until the summertime, because they have to see what the side effect profile. You know, like I said, everything is fluid, so they're gonna use the seniors honestly as guinea pigs. They gotta test this on real people out in the population, because they're trying to create what's called herd immunity, which means that if everybody around you gets a vaccination, and if you have underlying condition and you're sickly, then it's not going to affect you. But that can only happen when at least 60% of the population, not African Americans, I'm talking about the whole population. So we don't know that, we won't even, regular A and B people will not even get the vaccine until the beginning of the summertime. So it's,
well,
my question, how long that's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question to you is the fact that me coming out of the nightclub business, okay, we have our nightclubs that are closed. So these people are suffering immensely with this nightclub situation. And I have a contract that I just entered with the liquor company called Trust Me Vodka that I'm hoping to be bringing to the Midwest and to some of the nightclubs around our city. And we also have a club that's going to open up in January. And I want to plan a grand opening around your Trust Me Vodka with this new club that's opening up for the adult crowd. And so Trust Me Vodka, I'm putting in the Midwest, like I said, but you're telling me that more than likely these clubs may not even be open in January, or there'll be a limited amount of people. What do you think about that? And my next thing is there a machine that I can buy that will filtrate the air on a constant basis inside of a club or a business?
Well, to answer your first question, like I said, we don't know. No, the government doesn't even know the timetable for us returning to semi-normal activities, because this virus is spreading. And like I said, 3,000 people a day are dying in the United States. So that's like 9/11 happening every day. And there's no, we don't have leadership in place at this time that addressed that issue from the beginning. So that's why we're in the position that we're in now. So we have to. It's fluid. They don't. We don't know that. I don't know that answer. But they said that the regular people will not be getting the vaccine until the summertime. And then from then we got to see. Okay, is the number going down? Like Illinois, we had a 10.8% rate. And so we were down to like 3 or 4%. But then after Thanksgiving and everybody traveled around, now the virus is gaining ground. And so until people, you know, continue to use social distancing, put on their mask, wash their hands, that timetable is unknown, Cliff. It's not known.
Okay. Now, so you almost can't, if you're in the public life, you almost, because, you know, I produce concerts. And right now, the Temptations, the Whispers, all these groups, they're sitting at home starving to death. Okay, so you're telling me in the foreseeable future that the concerts will not be coming back anytime soon until springtime come where they could possibly be held outside. And in the meantime, that's a devastating economic situation going on as far as these entertainers is concerned. As a matter of fact, we're putting together my TV show that Candace will tell you about, and we had to hold off on the fact that with 10 people in the room along with the camera crew and Candace and all our production crew, it would be, first of all, we couldn't find a place to do that per se, but even if we found a place to do that, if you got 10 people, two of them, somebody had the COVID. So right now, the world is turning, and we're in an economic devastation for some people. At the same time, some people are prospering from this. I put it on my Facebook page that people, if you got any kind of money, please invest in FedEx and UPS and the post office. Okay, they're hiring. All these, the world is going to be from the inside now. So therefore, all these companies are hiring. Buy some stock in those companies. Buy stock in boxes. Because this stuff is going to be boxed. So box stock it up. If you got farmland, they're going to need more trees to make boxes and stuff out of. So even though there's a pandemic, there's an economic change that's going on where some people are hurting, other people are not doing so bad. I'll give you an example is that the land that I own in Mississippi, which is great green farmland in California, you got California farmers now who are looking to other states where there's rain to herd their cattle on. Because California is going brown due to this climate change and everything. So the world is changing, and we have to change with that world. And so once again, I want to say to Carlos, I thank you so much for being on the show, Doc. You know, I'm always glad to see you. And Candace, we're going to talk about these last few minutes. I want to say hi to Jane Bell, too, a young lady that I met some years ago. I'm just so glad that I finally found her again. And matter of fact, she's from Russia. And I did a thing with her, with B.B. King's daughter, Shirley King, before he passed away out north and everything. So I want to say hello to her because I finally found her, hoping that she's going to be doing well and we can do some things together. But Candace, we're going to close out with you talking about some of the things that we're doing, some of the products that people are coming on board, want to finance our shows. And just give us a rundown on some of the things that you and I are doing, sweetheart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I would love to. So to compliment what you said about us filming your show on Just as Chicago, we have decided to create it and give you put you on air on TV. But because of COVID-19, we had to postpone it, and that's just one of the realizations or one of the proof that everyone is being affected by COVID-19. I have been affected by COVID-19 in this industry. You have been affected, so we really need to pray that this vaccine is works and it doesn't have any complications. The second thing is that I would like to announce the new sponsor. We've finally gone into a contractual agreement with a company in Chicago. They also have some business in, well, they're let me slow down. They are founded in San Diego, but we signed on Clifton to be a sponsorship, and the name of the company is called Trust Me Vodka, and it is made out of, it's organic. I think it's distilled from potatoes, if I'm not mistaken, but you can look them up. It's called TrustMeVodka.com. You will love the bottles. They're beautiful. They're good. They're a very nice gift for the holidays. Secondly, we are working on reparations. We have a second initiative where we have started, we have reignited the conversation on reparations. We had our International House Conference meeting last Sunday with the Prime Minister, the ex-Prime Minister of Australia, Honorable Justice Philip Ruddock. We also met with the Justice Ali Kohan from Pakistan, and that was a very good start to our chapter of reparations. Kristen will be in that show too. I would like to invite anyone that is listening that would like to be a part of the movement, one that has something to share, that is working on a legislation or grant, to contact us at 1-800-378-8119. My extension is 818. My extension is 808, like the base. Well, you need more trouble in base, it's 808. But that's it for this evening, and that's all I have to say. I just want everybody to stay safe, be well, and, you know, keep God first.
Hey, okay, Travis, well, could you repeat that phone number again? Could you repeat that phone number, please, that 1-800?
Yeah, my number is 1-800-378-8119. And the extension is 808.
Okay.
1-800-378-8119. And my direct extension is 808.
Okay, Doc, one more thing before you go. I had some people call me asking about that mask that you were speaking about. Tell them again the name of that mask and where can you get it.
Okay, it's the KN95. It's the safest mask that they produced to protect you against COVID and predict other people from COVID. It's called a KN95 mask. Cliff, I mean, if people can get in contact with you, I can get masks, and we can put that out in the community. That's not a problem. Everybody got
okay.
your information, so just let me know who needs KN95 masks. We can get them in bulk, you know, at a good price, and so you just let me know who needs masks. That's not a problem. We connect
okay.
with that.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard our conversation. That's what my show is about, conversation and information. And we'll see you again next week. In the meantime, Candace?
In the meantime, yes. In between time. We love you guys. Be safe.
All right. Thank you. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you. Carlos, thank you.
Yeah,
peace
thank
and
you.
Love. All right, we out.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists, Inc. production.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to wigs, weaves, or protective styles? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all-natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com.
That's good. The number 2, GRO.com.